This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
The only thing that we would hang banners for, that we put up around this building, is world championships.
And, you know, the message is clear. You know, we just had to play better.
Everybody wants to take a chip and dip it in that salsa, you know what I'm saying?
Tucker is in a better place.
No, bro, we're going all the fucking way, bro. Pack us to the bowl, bro.
Guys, this is Jeff Giannis.
And Giannis is off the Blues. What a cat, that's insane.
You're listening to Poor Man's Packers Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Permanence Packers Podcast, one Packers Podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello, hello.
And ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Packers lose 16-22 at Soldier Field. It sucked. Happy holidays. Right? Christmas?
We got a big old lump of coal.
Yeah, big old lump of crap is more like it. You know what I mean?
I guess we'll find out what we actually got this Saturday.
Ooh, true. Maybe even in mid-January we'll know what was owed to us, and if Santa, maybe it was a secret present. Maybe this lump of coal we had to smash into a beautiful diamond, which will go into a ring.
Oh, do you think the pressure that we're under will turn the coal into a diamond?
People are saying that pressure burst pipes, and that makes diamonds. So maybe that's what's going to happen with the team this year.
And it's cold out, so
and
that
it's
works.
Cold out, and it's cold out. Makes you think. It. I think I told you this before. I took some class here, MN Minnesota DOT class, and the guy who ran it said that Dante Culpepper, you know, we live in Minnesota. He played for the Vikings. He went down to Miami when the season was over. Didn't clear out his water pipes or turn his water off, so pipes froze.
He turned his heat off.
Yep. So then he next year, you know, season's over, leaves, did the same fucking thing 2 years in a row. He forgot to empty his water pipes and keep the heat on. So good on Dante, and maybe that's why now we gotta navigate away from the water pipes and back to the diamond, because Dante never got a Super Bowl. So
that's okay. We'll figure it out. We'll wordsmith this later and inject it back in here.
Game sucked, Todd. I guess why don't we just start there? What was your big takeaway with this excellent, excellent game?
Yeah, what a showdown. I don't know. Big takeaway. I mean, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. It's like the Packers dominated the time of possession. Like, couple key factors, converted third downs, like, felt like things were going okay. We're in a good position in the fourth quarter, and we just had to piss it away. And it's, like, kind of impressive still to be in that position with all the injuries we
came
have.
Away impressed and with the team.
Malik Willis at backup quarterback, which I actually love. Malik's, like, one of my favorite guys in the league, to be honest. Takeaway is, you can't win games.
Here we go.
When every single person on the roster is on the injury report.
Oh, okay. That's good. Rolls right off the tongue.
It's a good saying. People are picking it up around the league.
Mine, because it really sucked. 2 weeks in a row of some pretty bad losses. I don't know if you agree with me, but especially when you compare the loss and the way it happened to the 2014 NFC Championship game, you know it wasn't a good game. It's like, mm-hmm. I was in such a good mood watching the game, and then it was like, oh, that's right, they're going to onside kick it. And then you see him kick it, and then it bounced off Romeo.
And Romeo takes his eyes off the ball? Where is he looking?
I don't know. I think he was looking at it, but he was just frightened. Like, he should have.
They gave that shot where the camera is like in the end zone looking straight at him, and he's not looking at the ball.
I don't know. I'd like to think he was looking, but it was like, again, it's like, oh, we're going to win. This is fun, blah, blah, blah. And then the onside kick happens, and immediately it's like, oh, we're going to lose. like pretty quickly after that, it's like, oh man, this is not going to be good. Cause I thought he was going to go for two as well.
I thought they were going to go for two as well.
It does make more sense. He did say, you know, at the game at Lambeau Field, that if they had scored, they would have gone for two. I think it does make more sense when you're at home and you have the momentum to just take it to overtime.
The momentum.
Yeah, so it obviously did work out for him. But yeah, pretty shitty game. My big takeaway was I hate how much immediately after it kind of just changed the, once again, almost like last week, but like the goals of the season now, because now it's like, I just want to play the Bears again and beat them, you know, because it's like, they weren't better than us. They could even potentially,
they weren't,
they could lose out and we could win out, which I don't think is super far fetched either. And then we'd be the NFC North champs. But it's just now after that, it's like, we can't go into the offseason with the Bears fans thinking they've got one over us. And more than likely, I think it's like a 57% chance that we'll play them in the first round as the seventh seed. But it's just
the Bear. How would the Bears have one over on us? We split with them.
I know, but they'd still
win. They won in overtime.
But they would still win the NFC North.
Sure. Okay. Yes, they would win the NFC North. But like,
it's been like, what,
anybody who watched that game is like, oh, if the Packers weren't decimated, it's a different game.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucked. Again, it was one of those afterwards where it's like, you're just pacing around and you just don't want to talk to anyone. You're just like, how could that happen? But
I'm not like as much, you're basically talking about like, oh, we got to get back and like beat the Bears. Like, I don't care about the Bears. I don't like it. I'm to the point where it's just like, I don't respect you, you know? Like, I don't have respect for you, so, like...
Yeah, but it was that. It was the way they celebrated afterwards or whatever. It was the stupid...
That's like little brother energy, though.
It was the cheese grater hats afterwards. It was the... They were not very nice guys, you know, jumping on the pile unnecessarily. The late hit on Love, which was bad.
Yeah, like, that was not great.
The concussion one, they hit Malik when he was sliding too. And then we didn't have the heaters in the first half either. It's like, I don't like the Bears, and I don't like that now. I'm like, that is my main focus almost.
You know what we could, this is good for the rivalry.
It
is. Because it really hasn't been much of a rivalry for a long time.
Right.
It's been pretty pathetic on one side of the ball. So props to the Bears, I guess, but I'm just like, I don't care about the Bears. Like, that's like the most little brother thing you could do is get the cheese grater hats out and be super excited about winning against a backup quarterback in overtime.
Right.
Like, I don't, what are you, a team that's good and has pride is like,
true.
Fuck, I can't believe we got ourselves in that situation.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. How would we feel if we barely beat a backup QB for the Bears in overtime? We'd be like, fuck, this is embarrassing. And they're like, ecstatic. Like, that's all you need right there.
I mean, it was a fun ending for them. I mean, we had a 99.5% chance to win that game, I think is what it was, and we still lost. So it's like, it was...
fun ending for sure. They squeaked it out. But I'm just saying, like, if they're totally, like, they're playing from a vantage of, like, it's low stakes.
Yeah.
Like, they lose all the time. So it's like,
true.
They beat us.
But,
so it's like
that's
amazing
why it's
for them.
That's why, yeah, that's why it's a big deal, unfortunately.
It's good for the rivalry.
Yeah, poverty franchise. They're still looking. They might be going to Indiana or whatever. And then Kings,
actually?
And, well, yeah, there was that talk last week. We don't have to get into that.
No.
Yeah. Right? Is that the state that's south of them? I think that's what the talks were. We'll see. I don't know.
Indiana's to the east of Illinois.
Okay. Well, we'll see. TBD. They have to figure out the geography.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. This episode, yeah, we'll talk about the playoff outlook. We'll talk about the offense, defense, take news, the Pro Bowl, some other playoff stuff, like what Ryan Wood said about the team. You know, what are our expectations for this team going forward? Some Spenny Packers trivia and the Ravens preview. I wasn't sure if we should do it, but I'm going to do it anyways. So
hell yeah.
We're going to just run through the collapse as quick as possible here. And you just nice. speak up when something comes to mind, all right?
All right.
So we really fell apart when what? It was 6-16. Bears down 10, the 3rd and 20 with 3:15 yet. Warren Brinson gets a sack on Caleb Williams. It's like, oh, cool, his first sack. What a great play. And then there's a flag. You're like, oh no, he ripped Caleb's face sideways first down. They then I think go 3 and out after that and kick the field goal. It's like, okay, whatever, we're up 7 again. I'm like, yeah, whatever, we're going to get this onside kick. There's like 2 minutes left or under 2 minutes left. Yep. Should be ball game. They kick it. Romeo Dobbs muffs it. Neither Bo Melton, Gene Reed, or Josh Jacobs did much of anything for blocking up front. But yeah, Romeo muffs it. I mean, he kind of backpedaled away, didn't attack the ball, bounces off him, doesn't get his own fumble, and Bears recover. Romeo did say post-game that that loss was 1,000% on him, so... nice of him to, you know, take control of that.
Way to own it.
Yeah, way to own it. Not very good, though,
I mean,
either
it's
way.
Not, but I like the owning it.
Are you mad at Rich with the because of it?
I'm not mad at Rich.
Right.
Because I feel like the definition of insanity is, like, doing the same thing over... I have to find someone else to be mad at. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be mad at Rich.
I'm not mad at Rich because I don't think it's his fault. Like, Romeo should catch that ball. Right. I mean, that's the big thing there. Like, that's the thing, too.
Cause you're mad at Rich. You're asking me if I'm mad at Rich because of the no blocking?
Well, but either way, if Romeo just catches the fucking ball, I didn't think we were actually going to talk about this. If Romeo just catches the ball, like, that's the way it works. The ball bounces to him, you catch it. I've seen people complain, like, it should have been the one thing. People are saying, like, Matthew Golden should be the one out there.
So people are mad at Rich.
People
That's
are like fire Rich Bisaccia of this, and I'm like, there's been reasons.
There's
to fire
a laundry list.
this is not it. Like, this is not Rich's fault. Like,
no,
Roman
this is the least.
Ball. And then the people say,
watch every single kick return. There's a reason.
Well, that's the thing. Our kick returns and our coverage units are both really good. And our kick returns...
literally a flag on every single one.
Sure. The penalties are bad. But the kick returns have been fine of late, too. The punt returns have been terrible. But overall, I think the special teams have been fine this year after we got through the field goal kicking mishaps and now this stupid thing. But it's like, kickers should make kicks and receivers should catch balls, you know, with a couple big issues here that
Not
we've had.
Not bouncing balls, though.
Yeah, that makes it a little tougher. So Bears drive then. Drive down, 24 seconds left, 4th and 4. Caleb hits Walker for a TD, and then he airwalks. I was very upset at the time, but the celebration was pretty cool, the fucking airwalking. Did you see that?
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Well, he's, like, running, but then he puts one foot on the ground, and the other is in the air,
and
it just slides.
Oh, yes. Okay.
It's like a moonwalk, but forward in the air. Yeah, it was like, fuck, that was a cool celebration, but it was very bad. Keyshawn Nixon and Nate Hobbs... not communicating before the play, and he just runs free at the corner of the end zone. That really sucked. Goes to OT. Packers get the ball first. We are driving down the field. We have that nice throw to Jaden Reed. 3rd and 1 on the Bears 36. Willis rolls to the left. Kind of has Watson open for a second, and then he tries to run it. Gets sacked for a 0-yard gain. 4th down, muff snap. Willis said post-game that he should have told Sean Ryan what he was going to do with the cadence because apparently that's what fucked it up there. But fumbles the snap. Emmanuel Wilson picks it up, tries to dive forward. He is a half yard short at least. And Belton, you see Belton was like given the first down signal when nobody else on the Packers.
Yeah.
And it was like, Mr. Belton, you're very, very wrong on this. But pretty bad. A couple plays later, of course, 1st and 1 on Green Bay's 46. Caleb throws it up to DJ Moore for the touchdown over Keyshawn Nixon once again. Shitty. I guess we probably don't want to linger on it too much, but are you over it yet? Are you feeling better? I'm feeling better now. I'm on to next
week. I mean, I'm over it. I don't know. The whole game, like going back to the initial thing too, is like the whole game was just kind of like a lot of times you can hold on to like the hope of like we can put it together and it's possible,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But sometimes you're just like you get those moments where you're like I don't think we're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, you just, you look at it, you're like, a lot would have to go really right
for
this team to turn it around.
We could,
I think a lot would have to go really right.
We could still win the NFC North. I mean, if we
could.
We could win.
We could come in as a 7th seed and win the Super Bowl. It's not impossible. But when you watch the team in like crunch time, it seems like the glue guys are few and far between at this point in the season.
Yeah.
They're kind of gone. They're hurt.
It does seem that way. Malik's almost a glue guy, and he's your backup quarterback.
I love Malik.
Who do you blame? Who do you blame the most for
the loss?
Yeah.
Who do I blame? Fuck. I mean,
because like I blame Romeo and Keyshawn Nixon the most, and then I don't even really blame Matt LaFleur at all. When you know, usually I like blaming him for shit, but this one it's like I think the worst thing he did was that play call on fourth down on the opening drive. Like, that was what I was most upset with more than anything else, that he was in control of during the game.
I think it does. It falls on Brian Gutekunst.
Ooh.
For coming into the season with Keyshawn Nixon as a number one.
Okay. That's a fair answer too.
You got to place blame at the top, you know, starts top down.
Yeah. Very fun. Always good to have collapse, 2 weeks in a row. I guess the Broncos was as much a collapse as it was just our
that
soul.
Just dominated us a little bit.
Offense, again, 16-22, putting up 16 points with a backup quarterback. Our red zone offense, I don't know if you've noticed this, it's been brutal lately. We were like 5th in the NFL before that first Bears game. We have now dropped to 14th. We were 0 for 5 on Sunday, which isn't good. It like the one touchdown we had, we were outside of the red zone on that Romeo Dobbs touchdown.
Yep.
Jordan Love, you know, quarterback, started this game 8 for 13, 77 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, a 78 QB rating. I mean, he missed on 4th and 1 on the first drive. Ball just hung in the air. I wish we would have like moved him outside the pocket, or at least pretended like we were gonna run on that one a little bit more, but there really wasn't anyone open on that play. He missed Watson on 3rd and goal on the 8. Thought maybe it would be PI, but the ball wasn't even close. The wind blew the shit out of that ball.
Literally blew the ball like a couple yards.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah. It sucked too because it was Watson matched up on a linebacker.
If that's a better ball though, I know that the wind blew the ball. But I'm saying if the ball is in the right spot,
yeah,
it's a PI. Yeah. But they're not going to throw a PI when the ball wasn't there.
That's the thing. You know, I guess the top three is probably Romeo Dobbs, Keyshawn Nixon, and the wind. That's what I blame for the loss.
Yeah, the wind got us good. But also, too, it's like if we could just bring back one of the guys if we could bring back like a Tucker or like injuries are also a reason that we lost.
Yeah.
If you could bring back our sweet baby Tucker, we win the game. We win all the games then.
Romeo, Keyshawn, the wind, a lack
Tucker's
of medical
legs.
Technology. Those were the reasons why we didn't win that game. He, you know, for how long he played, I still liked a lot of it. He ran a couple times. I liked the one where he was running, then hit the pump fake, and then dove for the first down. That was pretty cool.
Wait, you're talking about
Jordan
Malik?
Love. No, I'm talking about Jordan Love. He was bleeding at one point,
when
too.
He dives forward? Yeah, that's right.
He was bleeding. Did you see him bleeding too? Again, these Bears.
I did not.
The Bears are cheap. Yeah,
cheap.
They showed a replay.
Razor blades
elbow
on their pads.
That's what people are saying. But then, yeah, of course, Malik, 9 for 11, 121, the one touchdown, 10 carries, 44 yards. I mean, he's fun. He's very fun to watch. I love the play call on 4th with him running the option. Had it easy. Had 2 passes in goal-to-go situations that missed. He had the fade to Dobbs. And then on 3rd down, he had that inside pass to Watson, too, that sailed on him. So, again, the wind was a big reason why we lost this game. He had a huge long play fake that threw up to Musgrave for the big gain. I guess Christian Watson was, like, wide-ass open on that play. But
yes. Did you see the replay?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, you can't go broke. What is it? You can't go broke making change or some shit like that. And it was like, oh, yeah, we'll take that.
What does that mean?
Because you're getting something. You're not losing.
Okay,
anything.
You're
getting something.
Okay.
It's like, oh, okay, yeah, I still feel good about it. And then a couple plays later, I believe Josh Jacobs fumbled on the goal line.
Sucks.
Less than ideal. Willis, what you were getting at too, picked up that first where he slipped, got out of a sack, pump faked while juking a defender on the edge, and then ran for like 10 more yards. And I mean, a couple of those in the pocket where he just wiggles and runs out of it. Like, he is a lot of fun to watch. I think even more so when he comes in a game where he wasn't supposed to start.
Name two quarterbacks in the league that are faster than Malik Willis. I said two for a reason. Because you could say Lamar.
Yeah, Lamar. I mean, Bryce Young probably is. Maybe not. Maybe
faster
not.
Than Malik.
No, he's not.
When Malik turns it on from the backfield, like, I don't think anybody could catch him.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous how fast his I don't know if he's top end fast, but his acceleration from 0 to 60 is amazing.
He had the dot touchdown to Dobbs again. It's like sometimes the wind was good, sometimes it was bad. I can't blame the wind on that one, I guess. And then he fumbled the snap in OT, which really sucked. God, I wonder, it would have been funny if we ended up tying that game, if we went down there and scored, which I think we would have if that didn't happen, but what can you do?
Yeah.
I wrote this down. Malik is a QB that would be really fun to have as your QB, but only if your team kind of sucks. Like, if you're between having a franchise guy, I think it would be fun to sign. And then it's like, I look at all the teams, and it's like, who will sign him in the offseason? And it's like, I think you almost would want a different type of QB room where you have, like, a young guy learning, Malik Willis, and then, like, a fucking Case Keenum or, like, a real vet who's been there for a while so that, like, the young guy can still learn a little bit more. But it's like Miami, the Jets, the Saints, the Titans, like, those teams make the most sense. I wonder if he's going to go to Miami next year.
Vegas?
That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, Vegas, but they still have so much money invested in Geno. I guess I wonder.
That's sad. That's fair.
I wonder if they can get out of that, but it's the first year of that
but
deal.
Malik is good.
Yeah. I mean,
there's
see.
A lot there. And he doesn't have a bad arm. He doesn't make bad decisions. Like, granted, every time it's small sample sizes, but, like, we have full games to look at. And, like, Malik is a good decision maker, which is, like, one of the bigger things. If you're an athletic QB, like, a lot of times I feel like what gets those guys in so much trouble is they think they can do anything. And Malik is like, he'll pull it down or he'll just take a sack or, you know what I mean? Like, he's not stupid. He's seems to be really well liked, like a good locker room guy. Oh, yeah. And that dude's legs, like, holy shit. He might be faster than Lamar. I don't know. That seems like a dumb thing to say, but, like, when I see him run out of the pocket, I'm like, I don't know. It's like Paul Walker hitting the nitrous, you know?
Classic reference. Yeah. I don't know. He's fun. I wrote this. Who'd you rather have at quarterback, Jordan Love or Malik Willis?
I mean, Jordan Love, but
if I knew we were going to win this week and I can pick one, I'm picking Malik because I just want to see him.
If
one more time.
If you know we're going to win,
yeah, which is
he's way more fun to
which
watch.
Which is a bit of a qualifier.
Yeah, that's a good. Like, had I known that prior, but I maybe would have changed my answer.
The thing is, too, is I don't know how good he'll be when, like, a team is prepared for him, too. Because when you're preparing for Jordan Love, who's a pocket passer and, like, likes chucking deep balls and shit, it's like, then Malik Willis comes in and it's a completely different game, you know? And I think as time went on, they kind of adjusted to him. But
maybe,
I don't know. He'll be fun either way.
He is super fun. So and they also, like, when we... It was two games last year that Malik started, right?
Yes.
He was effective in both of those.
Mm-hmm. But that was also going against the Titans, who were the worst team in the league last year. The Jaguars, it was a comeback
revenge
win.
Game.
And I forgot what the other one was. Colts? I don't know. Yeah, I think it was the Colts, who were pretty bad last year, too.
I love Malik. He's so fun to watch.
So I guess we didn't even mention it, but Jordan Love got the concussion. He didn't finish the game, but if you watched the game, I think you knew that. I assume he's going to be good to go on Sunday. He practiced limited today, which is part of the concussion protocol. It's nice that we're playing a Saturday game, but because we played on Saturday, it's a full week. You know, we just had Josh Wiley miss a game with a concussion. I think he's going to be back too. And then also, Malik had a shoulder injury, which Tom Brady was kind of talking about a little bit late in the game. And Malik said he would be good to go on Saturday as well. So we should have those guys ready to go. And if not, we were probably going to call up Clayton Tune from the practice squad, who's been in the year for 3 years, who's a fifth-round pick by the Cardinals, hasn't played. He started like one game and wasn't very good, but it'd be better than, you know, fucking Jaden Reed having to come in. Because that was the thing that sucked, too, about Malik coming in. It's like, I want him to run more, but he can't run too much because if he gets hurt,
we're screwed.
We're really fucked. That would have been something.
Really bad. Hey, if this game was played in 1995, do you think the outcome is different?
Yeah.
Because Love doesn't go out then. He just keeps playing.
Oh, I was going to say, well, they'd all be like babies or, you know, little microscopic cells or shit, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, I was saying more from the perspective of, like, rules and, like, if you took protocols.
Okay.
There's no protocol.
I thought you
so
meant
Love the, keeps playing.
The physical being of everyone on the field was still going to be playing. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I read that a little wrong. Whiteouts? God, it sucks to say, but, you know, well, that makes it sound like it was a bad thing happened. But Romeo Doubs, 5 catches, 84 yards, the one touchdown, one of the better games that he's had. He had that huge third and long catch. Out route to him that was like, I don't know, 15 fucking yards. He had the beautiful outside going from right to left where he went to his knees and like scooped it before it hit the field. Yep. That was pretty cool while staying in bounds. I don't know how he catches that, but misses like the easy ones. It seems he is James Jones. He had a nice slant pass too, where he cut it up field for 20 yards. Very cool. And I mean, again, it's like you feel bad because he had such a good game. I mean, the touchdown pass was beautiful too, right in his outstretched arms, and he scored and gives the Chicago fans the you know, but didn't finish strong as he started, IMO.
Yeah, it's fun to see him, like, as he was kind of heating up, we could kind of see it coming to fruition. And then sure enough, he winds up with, I mean, that's a pretty good day. He had a long of 33, a touchdown, 5 receptions. That's, like, pretty damn good day. But it does seem like, I don't know, was, like, the offense just, like, when we needed a spark, you get in the red zone, and it's just like nobody was to be found,
right.
Romeo included.
I wonder how much of that is like Josh Jacobs being banged up the last couple weeks too, and just
maybe
being demoralized in Denver. Like, I wonder how different that would have been if he just holds on to the fucking ball too, I guess. Christian Watson finished 2 for 17. He had the 10-yard out to get the first down when we were backed up after that nice punt. Reed got a personal foul. You see that? He did his little bird sign thing at, like, the opposing team.
Oh, yeah. He turned around and he pointed at, like, the bench, too, right?
Something like
Which
that.
Can't do.
That was scary because it backed up that extra point to being, like, a 46, 48-yarder in that wind, and McManus crushed it. That might have been his best kick. I'm quite sure it is his best kick of the year.
That was a good kick. I was looking at that, like, as they backed it up, I was like, holy crap, well, how long is this field goal?
That was the most
extra point.
That was the most worried I was all game outside of, you know, before the onside kick miss.
Before overtime.
He also had the big pickup of 31 yards, the catch and run in OT. It's nice to have him back on the field because no one else brings, like, that shiftiness post-catch where he, like, seems to always break a tackle or get close to, like, running around the nearest dude to him. So,
well, no, you say nobody, but my boy, Dontavian.
Yeah, well, he didn't do much in this game. Dontavian Wicks, 2 catches, 12 yards. The one was a nice first down catch. Matthew Golden had 1 target, no receptions in this game, so we'll have to see what happens with him going forward.
Tight ends. 2 runs, though.
Yeah, he did have the 2 runs for, what, a total of nothing? The one went for
4.
Nothing? 4. Okay. Log of 3. Nice. Tight ends. Fitzpatrick dropped that 1 ball at the line of scrimmage. That was pretty bad. I mean, he did have...
Wasn't that during, like, the 2 minute, though? That was a good time to drop it, right?
Yeah, true.
Is that the one where...
Yep, I think yeah. You're right. That was his only target of the game. He later tore his Achilles. So they're saying he's going to be out for the season unless he has a miraculous comeback, but he is on the IR, so it's not going to happen. Musgrave, I mean, probably should have started with them because, God, he's been pretty solid. He's been a nice little piece to have there, 3 for 38, the long of 26. Beautiful catch. Every one of his catches went for a first down. And I don't know if he catches the ball and he doesn't get tackled to the ground or pushed out of bounds and they blow the whistle because he stops moving forward or whatever. It's like he will fumble the ball every single time that happens. It happened in this game, too, where the ball comes out late, and it's like, Luke, for the love of God, just hold on a little bit longer so we don't have to worry about your gangly legs and arms holding on to this ball.
Yeah, I like the way LaFleur has been using him, though, in the offense of just like, oh, hey, we should actually just use him as a receiver
yeah.
and push him up the field, and like then he's successful. And so, like, props to Matt for not – trying to fit him into the Tucker Kraft hole, like square peg round hole.
Yeah, so. Took him a couple weeks, but nice to see it. I mean, he's got decent hands. I don't want to jinx anything, but he's had some decent
catches. He does have good hands. Couple where he's laid out and made really nice grabs and survived the ground. So,
and like I mentioned, Fitzpatrick towards Achilles, he's out for the year. Josh Wiley, again, he should be back this week. But either way, that's only two tight ends. You would think we're going to have three on game day. So they haven't announced bringing anyone in. So it doesn't seem like Big Dog's going to come back on the Denver's practice squad. That would be pretty cool. On the practice squad, we have McKellen Castles and Drake Dabney. We had Dominic Daphne. Now we have Drake Dabney. So wouldn't be surprised if one of those two guys get called up. But you know what I do. I just call the Big Dog over. It's only a couple games. Come on. We've lost so many like good veteran leadership. Let's get Big Dog back in the house.
I would love to have Big Dog, but I don't know what he actually brings at this point.
Blocking.
Is he like 41?
Yeah, he's 41 or 42. Yeah. But I bet he can block.
That's tough.
I bet he can block better. He can block better than
He move in space, though?
No.
Can he get out in space and make a block? You got to line him right up on whoever he's blocking.
Yeah, but I don't know.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, we have Musgrave, who's the pass catcher. We have Wiley, who's a little bit of both. It's like, hey, we can just have an extra offensive lineman named Big Dog. We can just do that. Running backs.
You put Big Dog and Darian Kennard out there together.
Oh, God.
We'd go jumbo with Big Dog on the outside, too.
Never pass. Running backs, we'll start with Josh Jacobs, 12 for 36, 3 yards per carry. Had the fumble, which was really, really bad. I mean, it was a weird little sandwich looking at his runs because he was heating up and then he was not. It was a 3 yard run, then 0, 2, 1, 2, all bad. Then it was 4, 4, 6, 7, 0, 1, 3, 5, 1. So it was like, okay, you were good in the middle there. I like that. I think that's when Malik first came in. But then that fumble was fucking brutal. And I feel like he's done that like 2 or 3 times in just 2 years with the Packers. I know it happened, I think, against the Texans or the Titans last year. I know it happened early on. God, it might have happened against the Eagles, too. He might have had a couple early season fumbles last year in ill-timed situations. But yeah, wasn't good. I don't know. We don't really have to talk about him. Emmanuel Wilson, though, what did he finish with?
14 carries, yards on 82 14
yards. Yep, average 5.9 yards a carry, had 14 as a long. I mean, he started the game bad where he had that terrible drop on second down, that swing pass, which was thrown behind the line of scrimmage too. So that was pretty risky. But he had a really good game. I mean, obviously a really nice average 5.9 yards a carry. He was just gashing them. All of a sudden, it seems like the run game was working better with Malik and Emmanuel than, you know, Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love almost when the offense was out there. So that was interesting to see. They did ask LaFleur after the game if Jacobs was benched because of the fumble. He basically said it wasn't up to him, that Ben Sermon's the running back coach is the guy who makes the call for who's going into the game. Obviously, LaFleur can call in and, you know, ask for Jacobs specifically or whatever. But I think it was more so like trying to save Jacobs and knowing he was banged up. And after the fumble, it's like maybe he's just not right. There's no reason to take Wilson off the field right now. So they just ran with the hot hand. I'm assuming that's what it is. So I assume
too. And
back this week too.
And Wilson is like, he hits the hole so much faster than Josh. So he's picking up the easy yards.
Yeah.
Like way more often, it seems, than Jacobs does. Jacobs makes every run look like a challenge, but he can also really make you pay on the second and third level, where Emmanuel's not really that guy. So they're just very different.
True. Yeah. Nice for Emmanuel to finally have a good game after a month of kind of being a plodding back. The O-line, I mean, overall, I thought they played okay, maybe good even. 2 sacks allowed. One was the last play during regulation. The other one was when Malik tried to run it on third down. They counted that as a sack. So whatever.
It was also a sack when Jordan Love died.
Oh, yeah.
It gets taken off the board because of the penalty.
Yes. Okay. I forgot about that. Yes. Duh. Obviously, it didn't actually count. They only allowed 8 pressures in the game, which isn't too bad. And the team averaged 4.4 yards per carry, so that was bad. And I don't know if you thought this. This is my thought during the game. It felt like more often than not after the play, there was like one or two offensive linemen laying on the ground, and I'm like, don't be hurt. Don't be hurt. And then they always got up. No one ever got hurt. But there was
I saw Sean Ryan laying on the ground for a while, a couple times, and I'm like, right. You can't. You have to get up.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, everyone's in the huddle. They didn't say anyone's hurt, so I don't know if they were gassed or what. Maybe that's why we always run down the play clock. Yeah, that's
I think it's like you get to the end of the season, and it's just like some years everyone is just like in pain all the time, and this is one of those years.
I do think Sean Ryan got kind of rolled up on one, and he was lucky to not get hurt. But at the same time, it's funny to think of Sean Ryan, who early in his career and even last year there was – word of him like being out of shape and thinking of this is just him laying on Soldier Field like just give me a minute, just let me catch my breath.
Also, I imagine like if you're an offensive lineman in the NFL, you don't even know what being healthy is,
right?
Like you're healthy before training camp starts, and then from there on out you're in pain for 6 months.
Very fair. That's all I had on offense. I mean, 16 points isn't very good.
It wasn't very good, but with so many opportunities. We played so well up until the red zone over and over and over again, and then just couldn't get in. So it's like, and to your point, like if what have we gone to all year in the red zone? Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs in the red zone has been pretty unstoppable, and it's just we can't ride that hand right now, and that felt like the problem on Saturday.
Yep. Hopefully we can win a game here these last two, get a little healthy, and then make some type of run, or the offense gets a lot more healthier for it. With that, we will have a quick commercial break.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com. and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
And we are back with the defense. The defense, they allowed 16 points in regulation. That should probably be enough to get a W, but obviously a little bit of a collapse at the end. We allowed a yards per carry of 5.8, which is not very good. Had zero sacks, also not very good. What did you think of the Ben Johnson fourth down play call?
In the red zone
on the opening drive?
I'm blanking. What was it?
The fun snap?
Oh, yes. I thought it was nice karma.
Yeah.
Like, that was good. Because, like, all the dumb trick plays literally always worked in Detroit, and now they didn't. And it was like, oh, that's kind of funny.
It's funny. Well, I mean, I guess they got us in fourth down later in the game, but the trick plays, like even Detroit this year, you know, on Thanksgiving, they were 0-for-3 on fourth down, and their trick plays didn't work very well in that one either. But if you remember when we had Tucker Kraft doing that, I called for us to try to do this one of those times. I don't know if that's exactly it, but to snap it between Tucker's legs and go to someone too. So I'm glad it went the way it did, but I'm curious if it would have. It looked like he was just going to run to the right if he actually caught the snap.
Yeah, I like that it went, when it went over his head. I was like, oh, that feels good. It's just like a nice like breath of fresh air to have somebody else screw up royally
right
in the red zone.
Yeah, especially in that game. Defensive line. I mean, again, like I said, 5.8 yards per carry, zero sacks. I don't know, up and down game. Gary, he had a pressure on third down. He finished with four. He led the team. Had a pressure on third and long. Had two QB hits.
He had a couple nice rushes where I was watching him. And I was like, he's actually like giving it.
Yeah, he like people are getting on him, and I get it because he is overpaid and he hasn't had a sack since October. But it's like he is making plays when they matter.
Hasn't had a sack in months.
Like the last three games, I think he's had like two plays where pressures that like ended the series for the offense or whatever. Like this game too, the first drive in the fourth quarter for the Bears, Gary got pressure on Williams on first down. He had to throw it away. Then we had a run stop for nothing. And then we blitzed Caleb and he threw a desperation ball out of bounds, which that's my favorite. Yeah. My favorite Caleb Williams play is like throwing it 10 yards out of bounds, which seems to happen like three or five times a game.
He does do that a lot. What do you think, like, if we had blitzed like this with Micah on the field, what would have happened to opposing QBs? Like, the way that we have been bringing the blitz, every time we bring it, it's super effective. So, like, I just imagine, like, had we done, like, a little bit more of, like, the simulated pressure, no pressure type of thing, like, and been more creative and actually send guys, what would have happened? Like, what could we have done? Like, my thought, where I'm leading with this is that, like, was Halfley saving it for the playoffs, like a couple blitz packages to bring in, and then just like when we need it on third down, just destroy somebody? Because it was super effective when we blitzed.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, I think we did a similar thing last year where it was kind of that bend, don't break, and then hold in the red zone. I guess, well, no, it wasn't the same last year because we had Parsons, but we were still only rushing like four or five guys at a time. Like we weren't blitzing much last year either, so I don't know. It's the thing is, too, it's like, well, maybe we should just keep guys in coverage, too, because we're not going to fucking pick the ball off anyways. Like, we can't pick the ball off to save our lives half the time, it seems, this year. Like, Xavier McKinney missed the Pro Bowl because he dropped, like, fucking three or four picks this year. If those happen, then maybe he gets in.
Yeah. Nobody can catch a pick. We're allergic.
LVN, Colby Wooden both had three pressures in the game. Nothing huge of note. I mean, LVN did force a hold, which got us to that third and third and 20 that Brinson got the face mask on. But either way, I mean, they had a hold LVN. I thought he looked okay. Brenton Cox was the highest rated player on the Packers defense, so he was activated and he did play. Justice Mosqueda put out a
nice Cox.
He put out a clip or whatever on Twitter of all his pass rushes, and I really wasn't blown away by anything that I saw. So we will see there.
You sound like a hater.
I'm not a hater, no, because I love Brenton Cox, especially last year. Like, I loved him, too. Like, I've been calling for him to play because, I mean, yeah, even early on,
he's
I
just
wanted him to
back.
Make the roster.
Give him a week to warm up.
Jordan Riley, he played pretty well, the guy that we picked up off the Giants practice squad a couple of weeks ago. I mean, he hadn't really made any big plays the last 2 weeks, but he had, like, three run stuffs in this game, which he was just shedding a block and then making the tackle, which we needed in this game. So I think he was one of the higher rated players according to PFF too, but nice to see a 97 in the middle holding up well in the run game.
That's right. He's number 97.
And like I said, Brenton Cox activated. We did activate Colin Oliver as well. We'll have to see if he actually plays. I was wondering too, watching this game, because Christian Welch got hurt. He was questionable today or whatever, or he was limited in practice. But it was Aaron Mosby, too. He got hurt. And if Mosby were out for a long period of time, I think he came back into the game, so this is all moot. But then it would make sense for Colin Oliver to take over because that is another edge player. But it's like how many – I think we have like 13, 14 defensive linemen on this roster, and now we're going to add another one. I wonder if we're going to cut that guy – that we signed from the Jags, or maybe Nazir Stackhouse, the two other defensive tackles who haven't suited up the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, that would make sense. Side note on Aaron Mosby, have you ever noticed how on kick coverage, he gets hurt like once a game.
Yeah.
Where they like, and then he just comes, he's back in the next kick coverage.
He had that one against the Giants where we thought his shoulder like disintegrated and then he was out on there. Game. Yeah. He's the Za'Darius Smith of special teams.
But at the same time, like, I can actually see Aaron Mosley be getting hurt, but he's like, all I have to do is go out there and hit someone again. So, like, I can do that. It doesn't matter if my shoulders yeah. fall off. I can keep hitting people.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe he does have, like, shoulder problems, and he's like, well, I can go back out there and hit someone again. That's fine.
And then back to Colin Oliver, too. He's 6'2". He does have an 8.92 RAS. However, everything tested really well besides his size, his height and weight, obviously low. And Todd, I think, didn't you want to talk about him?
I love talking. I think he was my.
What are people calling him?
Oh, Baby Micah.
Yeah, apparently people were calling him that in like the locker room too.
Yes, sir. I'm pretty sure if you rewind the tape, that was my rookie not named Matthew Golden to make the most impact or something like that, like rookie of the year award essentially.
Yeah, we'll have to look. I think we were all thinking him prediction. Too. Yeah, which I guess we could have taken Matthew Golden too because I don't think he's going to win that award.
Yeah, maybe not. Well, who do you have at this point?
For rookies?
Yeah.
I mean, God, Anthony Belton, maybe?
Belton has got to be the
guy,
I'm trying to think
of who else.
I mean, you Savion. Could also go Baron Sorrell.
Yeah, Sorrell. Yeah, it's definitely Belton, though. Without Belton, I think we'd be hurting a lot more on the offensive line. Linebackers? The linebackers miscommunicated on one of those little swing passes, the 35-yarder to Monongai. That kind of sucked. Huge tackle for loss from Walker, forcing a 2-yard loss in the run game, TFL, and then Quay timed a hit perfect over the middle to force an incompletion late in the fourth, too. I think that was one of those last drives, but obviously we didn't have enough of those. Nice to see Cooper blitzing a bit more, too. It'll be interesting to see, maybe not this week, because we'll go up against another mobile quarterback. But the Vikings week 17, whoever they end up throwing out there, I don't know if it will be JJ or not. He's got like a little fracture in his little fucking hand or whatever. So maybe it's going to be Brosmer.
His little foot.
So I'd be curious to see how much we blitz a guy like that. Or a more standard quarterback. Secondary. I mean, Keyshawn Nixon, it was one of those bad games. You know what I thought? Maybe I've said something similar to this in the past. He is the DeSean Jackson of corners, where it's like he's a boom-bust player at corner. One game,
yeah,
he might, you know, make a game-winning interception. He might break up five passes, or maybe he's going to allow miscommunication for a game-tying touchdown or allow the winning touchdown. Or hit a dude late over the middle that he somehow wasn't called for. That could have been really bad. And then did you see after the game he was going to talk to the media? And Nate Hobbs came up and told all the reporters, like, no, he's not talking to the media today. And then Nixon didn't, like, shut it down. He just left.
Oh, okay.
Nixon loves to talk to the media when he plays well. And then he has a bad game like this, and he doesn't talk to the media.
I mean, I would, too. You know?
Well, you're a pussy. We'll see if hopefully he talks
like, hey,
this
guys,
week.
Maybe next week.
I've got a sore throat. That's the only reason why I don't want to talk. Like, even Romeo. Romeo, who never talks to the media in week, like, he talked post-game and admitted that it was his fault and stuff. So, again, credit to Romeo, even though he should have fucking caught that. I could have caught that. That's the thing that sucks, too. It's one of those plays where it's like...
I don't think you could have caught it. I think you dropped that.
Absolutely, but I'll tell you this. I couldn't have done worse. If you put me there,
That's actually fair.
I could not have done worse.
Yeah. You know what?
Unless I like volleyball hit it.
We all could have done that bad.
True. And then Nate Hobbs. I mean, I thought he had another solid game. Sneaky. He looked
like Nate Hobbs in the slot?
Yeah, which is
feed me.
Where he should play. I mean, he gave up one pretty big pass to Moore, which was a good throw from Williams over the middle, I think. But, I mean, he looks
like... keeping things in front of him, it was impressive.
He looked like the guy we thought we were getting where he blitzed and forced a bad throw from Caleb. He had a huge tackle
for
loss at the line. Yeah, he had another, like, right at the line of scrimmage. Like, you see he's a guy now late in the season where you're like, who made that tackle? And you're like, 21? That was Nate Hobbs? Like, this is going
like
to be the peak of Nate Hobbs on the Packers right now.
Maybe.
This is probably
that
the
might
peak.
Be true.
But it's like, okay, he had a week.
I forget exactly like what, I think it was probably like in the third quarter. It's bottom of the screen.
Yep.
Bears are driving left to right.
Yep.
And he works his way through all the traffic and makes the play like at the line of scrimmage. And it's like, what, where has this been?
That's the one I keep thinking like, of too. And that wasn't even the TFL.
No, but the way that he worked through everything and just immediately like, I don't know. That was fun to watch. I was like, I may have texted you or something like that. I was like, that was like, where has he been?
It's weird because, again, when you look back to 2023, it was fucking Darnell Savage. It was Anthony Johnson Jr. It was Jonathan Owens. Yeah. It was Rudy Ford. Like, we were literally swapping it every week. And now it's like, can we change the corner two position to a flex defensive back? Because we have a bunch of, because now what are we, because we're getting ahead of ourselves with Hobbs, but it's like Hobbs is decent from the slot. Bullard's good from the slot. Bullard played fine at safety. And then we have Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney who are one of the better safety tandems in the league. It's like we have a lot of good safeties and slot guys, but no real great corners.
It's a bad time to have to go back to getting larger at linebacker, because otherwise you could like put Bullard in at linebacker essentially on like passing plays. You know what I mean? Like bring him down as just a pure box safety, and like he would have so much success there.
Bullard had a shoestring tackle on that Orban motion pass to Moore, saved a touchdown probably. Also had a great hit, forcing an incompletion late in the fourth on a 3rd and 10. Again, we had a couple very good timed hits on passes. Yeah, the bull. Todd's doing the bull celebration.
The bull.
This is an audio format. X again should have had another pick. It's what, 3 weeks in a row where he should have had an interception? At least he should have had it. He's dropped 3 picks over the last 2 games for sure.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We went from a guy who was like, oh, he's going to break the interception, consecutive game interceptions record, to like can't catch one. And then you got Carrington Valentine over there on the other side who, like, literally can't catch anything.
I do wonder, and I was a staunch defender of it at the time, against the Browns, remember, at the end of halftime, he picked off that one ball that didn't count for anything, and we would have had better field position if he just swatted it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Not talking about CV. You're talking about X.
Yeah. Yep, X.
Yep.
So if he, you know, it was like a difference in 20 yards or something, field position, whatever. Now I'm like, was that a curse? Did he curse himself there? Maybe if he does swat that down, he does catch these other 3, and he was just catching it for the stat book so he can make a Pro Bowl.
Was there a witch in the crowd that cursed him?
Yeah, probably not, but we can't disprove that, right?
Yeah, I can't say. I don't know what the demographics of the crowd were.
Yeah, me neither.
How many witches?
Merry Christmas. Special teams.
It's not zero.
Yeah, that is true. It's not people identify as witches nowadays.
People will tell you there's zero witches in the crowd.
There's always one witch. Yeah, it's like bugs. You know,
they're there to put curses on people.
They say you're always like 5 feet away from a bug, no matter what you do.
Really?
Yeah, I heard that before. I don't know where.
I believe that.
But then,
unless you're in space,
that's what I've. Whenever I go on an airplane, I'm like, so is there a bug? Like, is there one in, there must be one in the carpet.
Fleas.
Yeah,
fleas. There's fleas on the person next to you.
Lice, maybe.
Now you have fleas.
Yeah.
Yep.
Special teams. A couple weird notes, I guess, from this one. One, I thought Savion looked fast on maybe the one return he had. He made it to, like, the 35. Like, we kept returning it to the 35. Like, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Romeo Dobbs didn't catch it. I don't think we have to talk about that anymore. We have the worst kicking luck in the league, I swear to God. Outside of that Giants game, the other team always makes their field goals, it seems like. And this one, too, like that, you watching the ball curve in from Cairo Santos, I think.
That was a hell of a kick.
That was tough. And then McManus, I mean, again, it's funny how kicker was such a big talk for like 2 months. And I was like, okay, I'm back to not really caring about kicker, the fact that he was able to kick in this.
Who was that kicker even that we had before? I don't even remember his name.
I do.
How quickly?
Lucas Haversick. Lucas Haversick. He's still on the practice squad.
I'll never forget.
The other weird thing, too. So remember the Bears had that really nice punt that they pinned it at like the 2-yard line?
Yeah.
And
it was like their first punt of the game.
And then
right?
They come back after the break and they're like, they actually moved it to the 5. There's a chip in the ball and it told them that it went out at the 5.
Where it goes out of bounds.
And not the 2. And I'm like, I don't know anything. but I think the chip was wrong. And I'm like, I like using technology to make the game better and be more accurate, but it's like, you saw where it went out. Like, I would like to see the overhead, because I wonder if the ref was closer than the chip was, because there must have been some type of malfunction. Like, maybe it went back a little bit, but 3 total yards seemed like a lot to me.
Yeah, I didn't pay close enough attention even to the kick. I think I was like coming back from the bathroom, so I didn't even get a good look at it. So I don't have an opinion on that one, I guess.
Okay.
I like the idea of using technology though for that type of stuff. Like, where did it go out? If he's off by like 5 yards, yeah, then you use the chip. If it's close, let the ref do it.
I could get it. Yeah. If it's a shank too, where you're all the way down.
Some of those shanks, yeah, you can't like tell where
you are guessing.
It lands in the crowd. You're like, I don't know. Like, give him help on that one.
I thought we'd see more because, you know, they have that digital thing instead of the chain gain when they do measurements now. We haven't had the visual, like, digital thing for showing how close it was. So I thought that would come into play more, but it has not. With that, anything else you want to talk about with this game? Probably not.
No, dumb game.
Okay.
I didn't like it.
Okay, take news.
Football time. Take news.
All right, take news for the week. Take news. We're going to kind of talk about the playoffs and that stuff, and we will talk about it, but I thought this was a good launching point for this, for that, this for that. Ryan Wood on the Packers News podcast, they were asked early on, what was this game, or how do you think of the Packers after this game? And this was his answer.
I think there's 3 prongs here. There's the rivalry, there's the stakes, and then there's the future. I'll start with where Spoon kind of finished off. For me, I question how much of a launching point that would have been. It would have been a big win for the stakes and the rivalry. Okay, I'm not disputing that. Where my mind was with 2 minutes ago when they're lining up for an onside kick and I thought they were going to win was big win. They played. I picked the Bears to win that game going in. I did not pick the Bears to win like that. I did not think the Packers were going to go to Chicago and control the game the way that they did. That was impressive. But there was still easily enough concern about the things we came in concerned about to really wonder if this was still going to be a make a playoff run type team. I didn't see that from the Packers. The pass rush is still, even if they'd won, it's still pretty dormant. I don't know when you go up again in the postseason against the Seattles, the LAs of the NFC, how you want to generate pass rush there. The offense, this is not the first time all season that we've seen them be really bad in the red zone. This is now a repetitive thing. So in a vacuum, 0 for 5 in the red zone, that would have been something that in a vacuum, okay, it's 1 week, but it's not 1 week. This has happened. They've had those type of games. They've had games where they've moved the ball and haven't finished drives. They lost to the Carolina Panthers because of that. So that's just to me, whether it's Malik Willis or Jordan Love, kind of feels like that might be who they are. They're going to have that flaw. So there was enough flaws there that I don't know how much of a launching point that would have been. But when it comes to the rivalry and it comes to the stakes, we'll start with the stakes. You're looking at being the number 2 seed and getting home playoff games. Season ended today, it'd be Packers, Bears in the wild card. You'd much rather have that game at Lambeau Field than going down there to Soldier Field. That's significant, being able to the pocket a playoff win. But, you know, in those ways, it mattered. I question. My mind on this team did not change whether they won or lost. I don't think that they're a team that can make a Super Bowl push. I didn't see that in a win or loss.
Ryan Wood there, you know, he very, very elongated. He loves talking, and God, he's so fucking pompous. He's like my least favorite guy on the beat.
Whoa.
Actually, probably Mike Clemens. Is it Mike Clemens or? Yeah.
Zach Jacobson.
He's not on the beat. He's just a fucking blogger boy. But Ryan Wood basically saying that even if the Packers won, it wouldn't have really changed his mind for what this team's going to be or if they have Super Bowl aspirations. And I think that's kind of fair. You know, you could say that. But the things that he said or that he referenced was the pass rush isn't good enough to go up against the Rams and the Seahawks and that the red zone offense isn't good enough. And again, saying this isn't a Super Bowl team, even if they won, they would be the number 2 seed. So, Todd, I guess I just want to ask you, like, what do you think of this team right now? Do we have that capability? And do you think Ryan Wood made a good argument for saying that this isn't a Super Bowl team?
I don't know. I agree that the pass rush is going to be lacking. We're going to have to blitz. We're going to have to do things to create a rush from here on out because it pretty much was a one-man pass rush for the entire season leading up to a couple weeks ago. The red zone thing, I don't even think you point at that. I think you just point at the inconsistency. I think it's like this team is too inconsistent to make a run. Like, they can't keep it together sometimes for two halves, let alone back-to-back games. Like, that's my thing. I think there's other reasons. I wouldn't point at the red zone inefficiencies.
Sure. And I guess what I'm going to argue with here the most is I think it's fucking ridiculous to say that this isn't a team that can go on a Super Bowl run if we had won on Sunday. Like, if you're the number two seed in the NFC, don't cover the fucking team and tell me that this team isn't capable of winning the fucking Super Bowl, because that's what he's saying. And it's like, yeah, like what you said there too, the red zone offense isn't good enough. Yeah, it hasn't been good the last 3 weeks. I think they'll be better when Josh Jacobs is back. We also had, I mean, this is dumb, but the wind in Chicago. Obviously, we should be better, but we have shown that we can be good as a red zone offense, because the majority of the year, we have been a really good red zone offense. And the pass rush isn't good enough. It's like, sure, I suppose. But again, this was the only thing you're basing this off of is one game against Caleb Williams, when Jeff Hafley has historically not rushed mobile quarterbacks. Like, that's what we did early on last year too, where we keep them in the pocket so that they throw it. And that's what we were trying to do with Caleb. And it worked for the most part. I mean, they only had 16 points in regulation. It wasn't until like the last drives where he got out and really made it hurt. But that's what we were trying to stop from having happen the entire game. So again, I'd like to see us go up against an offense with a more standard, statuesque quarterback, because like we were going up against like the number one magician in the pocket in the NFL this year. So
that's,
it's like,
true.
No shit, we're not going to like, you know, blitz them and fucking create a pass rush in this first game without Micah. So again, I think it's stupid to say if we had won that this isn't a Super Bowl team. I know it's tougher now because we're probably going to be a wild card team. But again, this NFC is so wide open. Well, I could.
Yeah.
Who can't make the Super Bowl in the NFC right now? I would say the Bears. Like, it's the Bears and whoever's going to win the NFC South, and everyone else I think can win, because like even the Niners, the Seahawks, the Rams, like they're all really.
Yeah, do we believe in the Niners? I don't know.
I do. You can never count out the Niners, especially as a Packer fan.
But yeah, Seattle, L.A., Philly, I mean, I don't believe in Carolina.
I'd feel good beating Carolina, the Eagles, or the Bears, you know, and that's half the fucking NFC. So don't tell me this team can't win a Super Bowl because you watched one game without Micah Parsons.
I think you can have the opinion that you don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. But to say that they can't make a run is a little bit more, that's like a little bit of a different statement. Like, they could. A lot of things have to go right, obviously,
yes.
But a lot of things have to go right for every single team that wins a Super Bowl every year.
Right.
So you can catch some heat or get lucky in a couple situations and you will find yourself in the championship game. Like,
yeah,
that could definitely happen.
Yeah, we saw the Commanders last year.
Yeah, do you think it's going to happen? That's another
right.
That's another discussion, but like to say that it can't happen would be a little wild. I don't know if that's does you think that's what he really meant, cuz that's wild to say that there's no chance.
I mean, saying the hypothetical number 2 seed in the NFC couldn't win the Super Bowl in whatever form he was saying it is fucking stupid. That is my main gripe here with Ryan Wood. He's a fucking pompous, bald. I don't think he wears glasses anymore. Yeah.
Well, you heard they're curing male pattern baldness.
I have, so. Yeah. I'll have to. I'm losing my hair.
No, it looks good.
Thank you. But it's going away. Pro Bowl, we don't really have to talk about this too much. Micah Parsons was the only Packer voted to the Pro Bowl. Do you feel like anyone was snubbed?
I feel like Jordan Love should be in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, he probably should have.
Right?
Yeah. And
I mean,
I think Darnold has like 24 touchdowns and 12 picks, and Jordan Love has like 30 some touchdowns and 6 picks. Like, he should have made it over him probably. Evan Williams maybe kind of got snubbed too. He hasn't had a bunch of flashy plays, but he's like Pro Bowl caliber. But the discussion this brings up is Goody a good drafter? You know, do you think Goody's a good drafter?
I think he has had some really good drafts.
So I'm going to read through Pro Bowlers over the last 4 years, because I was surprised reading this today. So this year, 2025, only Pro Bowler is Micah Parsons.
Okay.
Last year, it was Rashawn Gary, X, and Josh Jacobs. So one draft pick and two free agents. Yep.
Two free agents.
The year before that, it was Elton and Kenny Clark. One, a second-round draft pick from Goody. Two, Kenny Clark, a Ted Thompson draft pick. And then 2022 was Elton, Jair, and Keyshawn Nixon. And Jair kind of made it that year because of his name more than anything. It seemed like he was kind of surprised making it. But it's like only having two. I mean, Elton's going to be gone after this year. But like Rashawn Gary is the only Pro Bowler that Goody's drafted over the last 3 years, or, you know, on the team over the last 3 years. Like, that is pretty surprising to hear.
Yeah, it is. I guess that is surprising. I don't know. I gotta think about this a little bit, because, like, is that a reflection of Goody, or is it like, because, like, who of his number one picks have not been great?
No.
Throughout the years, but I feel like his depth picks,
right,
his day two picks have been really good, and his day three picks have actually, like, churned out a lot of production. So I like to look at it more from, like, not Pro Bowlers, but like the guys that you're drafting, like, are they quality snaps? Like,
right.
I'm pretty sure there's a metric out there,
yes,
for that.
I mean, there's a much better way to do it, but I think I hadn't thought of it this way until you kind of talked through it there. But I think that's exactly it, where the high-end talent and athletes he's missed on. And when you hit on those guys, those are your Pro Bowlers. They come with a name recognition, you know, right away too, because they're a high draft pick. But he's made his bread and butter from the mid and late round draft picks, you know, like Evan Williams, Rashid Walker. I mean, Bullard was a second round pick, so he doesn't really count. The receivers, you know, Romeo Doubs. So it's like, instead of finding bums or borderline rosterable guys, he's found decent starters, but they don't have a decent starter bowl.
Right.
So,
yeah, right. They don't have like a mediocre bowl.
So I just thought that was interesting. I mean, next year, God, it'll be interesting to see if any of these guys, like Evan Williams, has got to make a Pro Bowl. Who do you think has the potential to be a Pro Bowler on this Packers roster? Draft picks.
Cooper.
Yep.
I think we could see Cooper. I think we all thought it was going to be this year.
Yeah.
And maybe hasn't really quite happened, but like Cooper could be freaking phenomenal. Evan Williams is one.
That's kind of it on defense. Gosh, maybe Quay Walker.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. That, yeah, Quay, maybe.
Like LVN, if he turns into Superman.
LVN, I don't know if Superman's in him, but like you could have a guy like, what if Baron Sorrell makes a huge year two, or, you know, those, the potential's there for someone like that. And Baron Sorrell has been productive. Like, his snaps on the field have been good snaps. So there's guys on the defense that could do it.
And then offense.
And Bullard could be the guy. Bullard could make a Pro Bowl someday.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's definitely
feasible. Yeah, I guess I was thinking later guys too. But then, I mean, the offensive line, Zach Tom, you know, he'll probably be a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
I don't know. Belton.
I mean, that's actually kind of ridiculous that he hasn't been one yet.
Right. It's been,
he's been really good.
It's because he's been hurt so much the last 2 years, too. And then Christian Watson, I think, will be a Pro Bowler next year. If I had to pick someone on offense besides Zach Tom or like a position player, I would take Christian Watson.
Yeah. Yeah, Christian Watson. What other draft picks on offense?
Reed. I mean, Reed's a decent one, too. He's led the team in receiving yards the last couple of years.
I mean, I could see Belton making a Pro Bowl.
Yeah. And maybe Matthew Golden, but we haven't seen enough of him still.
Yeah.
What is the Stump Spenny this week?
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Stump Spenny for this week.
You can tell me. Again, so I am one question under 500 right now.
That's what we think. Have we done?
I'm 85% sure.
Yeah. You know what? You can say it confidently, because if somebody goes and fact checks you, they have to put in the work to fact check you, and then you just get the free answer.
Perfect.
Which longtime Packers defensive back finished his career in Baltimore in 2020?
In 2020,
I would not have got this. Which longtime Packers defensive back finished his career with Baltimore in 2020? Like, I read it and it was like, oh, but I would not have got this.
I'm
the year threw me
well,
off.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if it's the game is played in 2020 or if it was the 2020 season. Because what
it doesn't say.
2019 was losing to the Niners. 2020 must have been Tom Brady. 2021 was the Niners in the first round. Okay, so yeah, so it's 2020. The thing that I think he's wrong about, though, is Tremont Williams was on the practice squad, and then we scooped him up, and he played for the Packers but didn't actually get to suit up in 2020. I think that's who it is. I'm just trying to think who else it could be because it wasn't Chuck. It wasn't Sam Shields. He played with the Rams, and I think that was it after that, and I don't know who else it could be. I'm going to go with Tremont.
It's Tremont Williams, okay. Correct.
Yeah, I remember that because Kevin King was hurt. We snatched him off the Ravens practice squad for the playoffs, and then I don't think he played a single snap on defense.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, what could have been? It could have been a Disney story, but Matt just didn't want to call him up. And with that, we have the preview. We are playing the Baltimore Ravens at Lambeau Field. The Ravens are 7-8, coming off a 28-24 loss to the Patriots. 7 o'clock kickoff at Lambeau. Like I said, announcers are Noah Eagle and Todd Blackledge.
Oh, Ian Eagle's kid?
I believe so.
That's who it is.
Yeah.
He was good as a... I heard him last year.
I've heard he's good, but I have no idea. I've never seen Todd Blackledge's name in my life.
I'm looking him up right now.
Perfect.
Todd with two Ds, I hope.
But I'm imagining a white guy, kind of tall with glasses.
Oh, I think I recognize him when I look at him.
Oh, okay. Maybe send me a picture of him and then I'll react and everyone will be like, oh, what a great audible reaction.
Oh, that is. I wonder what he played for the Nittany Lions, Chiefs, Steelers.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you'd recognize
okay,
him.
Okay, cool.
You look him up after
okay,
this.
Good radio. Packers are 2.5-point favorites. Over-under is 40.5. I don't like seeing 2.5-point favorites. Maybe that line's going to move, but again, you get 3 points for being at home. So the Vegas is saying the Ravens are a half point better than the Packers right now, which they have a losing record and is not very good. Offense, Ravens are 14th at points in points per game. Jesus Christ, at 23.9, 18th in yards per game, giving up 324.9. They have the 30th best or worst red zone offense in the league at 45%. They're the number one running team. They run it the second most in the NFL, but they're averaging 5.1 yards per carry. Yards per pass, they're getting 7.6, which is seventh best, but they pass it the least in the league. They throw a good amount of picks, 24th in the league, 20th in overall turnover differential. They also get sacked a lot, 9.65% of the time. That is 29th in the league. Lamar, still okay, but not the MVP type player that he was last year. 18 touchdowns, 6 INTs, 2,300 yards, a 63% completion. I didn't realize he was this bad this year. He was like a top fantasy quarterback, and he must have ruined a lot of teams. I'm glad I would have drafted him, but I would have been upset. Should I keep talking about fantasy football?
Yeah, fantasy. Hey, how's your team doing?
Got three out of four in championships. 101 passer rating for Lamar, 340 rushing yards. Obviously, he's banged up. He left the last game early, and Brett Huntley came in. He was projected to not practice today, so something to watch. We don't know. Do you think he's going to play, Todd?
I have no idea. I don't follow that at all, but I did also hear that he wasn't supposed to practice today, which I was like, that seems weird.
Yeah, I mean,
is it like a veteran rest day? Like, is that will you schedule him to be not?
Weren't listening. He didn't finish the last game. He got hurt the second half of the game against the Patriots. He was knocked out of, and Brett Huntley played.
And Tuesday would be the first day of practice, not Monday, right?
Correct, because it's a short week.
So that's why. Okay.
But either way, it feels like a coin flip. The Ravens are almost, they're kind of like us and the Lions, where they need to win out and the Steelers would need to lose out for them to make the playoffs, so they're pretty much done. The running backs, Derrick Henry is still good, 1,253 yards with a 5.0 average, 12 touchdowns, 4 fumbles, 150 receiving yards. Backup Keaton Mitchell only has 48 carries, but is averaging 6.4 yards per carry. I think he had one really long one in there. Zay Flowers, the receiver, was a Pro Bowler, which I was a little surprised by. Their top receiver, 1,043 yards on 78 receptions, 2 touchdowns. Mark Andrews, their tight end, just got an extension, even though he's like fucking 32 or something. 42 receptions. You see how many yards he has this year?
No.
380. 5 you touchdowns. Want me to look? No, I'm telling you. Like, it's...
Oh, jeez.
They just re-signed him.
380.
It's like Tucker Kraft fucking had that in October. And DeAndre Hopkins,
yeah, that's ridiculous.
Their other receiver, as far as yards go, 330 yards, 2 touchdowns. Again, they don't throw the ball a ton. The other Pro Bowlers that they had, besides Zay Flowers and Derrick Henry, I believe. God, maybe it wasn't even him. Their center, Tyler Lindenbaum, and their fullback, Patrick Richard. Also, their punter is a Pro Bowler. So they were tied with the most Pro Bowlers.
I think it's Ricard.
Sure. Yeah. What did I say? Richard?
I think, right?
Yeah, it is Ricard.
Richard.
So they have a fullback and a punter that made the Pro Bowl, whatever. Defense, they're 16th in points per game, giving up 23.2. Caught myself. I've never done that before. 27th in yards per game, giving up 351.6. 7th best third down D. 6th best red zone D. 13th best run D, giving up 4.2 yards per carry. They give up 6.9 yards per pass. 13th best in the league, but 242 yards passing per game, which is 28th. They force 1.2 turnovers a game, which is 13th best. They don't get a lot of sacks, one on every 4.49% of dropbacks, which is 28th in the league. 31st in the league, actually. Haha. They're overall, okay, these are all the Pro Bowlers. Zay Flowers, Kyle Hamilton, the center, the fullback, Roquan Smith, and then their punter. So Roquan Smith, you know, we've heard that name before. This is his fourth consecutive Pro Bowl. He leads the team in tackles. He has, what is it, tied for 11th in the NFL. Oh, since he's been in the league, whatever. He added 5 tackles for loss. He has 4 quarterback hits and 3 passes defended and 1 fumble recovery. 0 sacks on the season. His stats aren't very good. Like, I'm sure he's still a decent player, but it's like none of this jumps off when you're reading it. Like, again,
let's say you could be a tackling machine and not get any sacks.
Right.
And still be a good player.
So Blake Martinez should be in the fucking... I don't think you can get that many tackles to go to the Pro Bowl. And it's like, you should still be disrupting plays more than just making tackles.
I think TFLs for like an off-ball linebacker make more of an impact than
he has 5
sacks.
He has 5.
Okay. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
That is... I feel like that's more of like... Because if you're not blitzing ever, right? If you're on passing downs, if you're dropping back, then it's like, well, yeah, you're not going to have any. But TFLs... That feels like where you make your money. That's your bread and butter as like an off ball.
Rookie Michael Green, the outside linebacker, leads them in sacks with 3.5. Again, he leads their team with 3.5 sacks.
3.5.
That's like, wow. Like we think of the year where Kyle Fackrell led the...
Do they need a spark? Rashawn Gary, maybe trade him?
Ooh, maybe. Oh, yeah. We stole Zadarius from them. There's a bit of a back and forth.
You have this one back.
Yeah, they took Jair, you know. And then they got rid of him extremely quickly.
And then he retired.
Then he retired with the Eagles after Zadarius retired with the
Love
Eagles. Kyle Hamilton, again, really good safety, made a Pro Bowl, blah, blah, blah. Marlon Humphrey is a decent corner for them, too. 3 picks on the season. The Ravens only have 1 former Packer that I could pick out on their roster. It is Cornelius Johnson, the wide receiver on their practice squad, who had a decent training camp with us. I mostly remember because it's like, how many Corneliuses do you come across? Not many anymore. I feel like that name was more popular in the 1940s, 1930s.
It's the only Cornelius I personally know is Cornelius from the Rudolph movie, the Claymation movie.
Yes.
Cornelius, I don't know what his last name is, but that's the only one I know.
I turned that show on with my wife the other day as a joke. And she was like, what is this? And I'm like, you don't know what this is? Yeah. They were like heading to the Island of Misfit Toys and she didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And then Rudolph came out. I'm like, okay, you know who this is. And she did. She was able to get that. So
she's like a deer that has a nose problem. Right.
But yeah, this game again, Evan Williams, we'll see if he plays. He was obviously out last week. He said he's going to do individual drills on Wednesday, so getting closer. Zach Tom sounds like he will be iffy. They both did talk to the media this week, though, so that's a good sign. Again, like I said earlier, I assume Jordan Love and Malik Willis will both play in this game. Malik did say that they were asked how is he able to finish. He was like, adrenaline, and we didn't have anyone else. So it shows you that he is a gamer, and I think he's, I don't know. Oh, he said he also, they asked him about Jordan Love, and he said he's good, he's chilling. So sounds like he's definitely going to be good to go on Saturday.
Didn't he say too, any Jordan, I can do anything Jordan can do?
Yeah.
Jordan
can do anything. Well, that's because I just took a snippet from one answer for Tom Silverstein asked him. It's like, he's like, do they have to change the offense when you come in? And part of his answer was, I can do whatever Jordan does. Jordan can do whatever I do. And it's like, if you just take that, it's like, ooh, QB controversy. Malik Willis thinks he should be starting. And then I think Josh Wiley should be back this week, too. So I think between
that helps.
I think one between Evan Williams and Zach Tom will play. I'm assuming Williams will play. Maybe just light snaps with our safeties looking pretty good right now. But, yep, that's all the preview stuff. Todd, how are you feeling going into this game?
I feel okay just because they're just middle of the road team. I feel like the one thing I am a little bit worried about is just with how I just say like beat up. And I don't even know if like inefficient is the right word, but like where the defensive line, just like if we're not getting any gap pressure, I guess, is that like a good way to put it? Where like running backs are getting to the second level. There's one person in the league you really don't want at the second and third level. And we happen to be playing him this week. So I just don't want to see Derrick Henry just go buck wild getting to the, cause like he, I feel like the play with him is like, if you can hit him, even arm tackles, like at the line of scrimmage, ooh, he's like useless.
Who wins? But then, who wins in the hole? Derrick Henry versus Carrington Valentine.
Oh my God.
Carrington Valentine might explode. His limbs will detach.
Get off the tracks. Because the train's coming. I don't know. It does feel like a little bit of like a weird matchup. I don't know how I feel about. You just never know. Derrick Henry and Lamar could go off. I get that their line is not what it used to be. You know, they probably don't have the firepower down the field. But just like the names on the team, those guys are good enough that, like, I don't know. They can make an impact.
Yeah, it's. I'm glad they're reeling. If they like still had a shot, you know, I guess shout out Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers for winning that game. I guess for winning the game. One, it helps us because Detroit lost. Two, it helps us because now Baltimore has less to play for. Because if they were really fighting for a playoff spot, I think it's only like 5% now or something.
Right, because they don't control their destiny.
Right, they'd have to win out, and the Steelers would have to lose out, so they're probably not making the playoffs. So. And last week, too, Derrick Henry didn't play much in the second half, which was kind of strange. So maybe there's something going on with him, too. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I think Huntley's going to play. That's my guess right now. Lamar's been kind of weird about injuries around playoff time, too. I think like 2 or 3 years ago, he had like an on-again, off-again injury, and then it was right at playoff time, and I don't think he even played. Some weird shit was going on. It was a couple of years ago.
Interesting.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he's out, and we beat Brett Huntley. God, I always want to say Brett Hundley. You remember him? You remember how bad he was?
Yes, I do. I always, when I hear that name, I always think of Brett Hundley.
When I think...
And like the image of him, like his mugshot, not mugshot, but like his face pops into my head every time.
He didn't have a very pretty face. When I think of the game that I like, not hate or not demoralizing, you know, like a playoff loss... But, like, the worst Packer game I feel like I've watched that just hurt, like, no hope, was Brett Huntley versus the Ravens back in, like, 2012 maybe or whatever. No, it wasn't 2012. The first year that Rodgers broke his collarbone, and it was terrible. Okay. I remember watching it at the Crowbar during hunting season, and there was no chance.
In 2016?
Maybe. I think he threw a pick six or something, too. It was just so fucking bad. What was the score of that game?
I'm trying to look it up here. I just have his stats right now. Let me see if I can pull.
Perfect. This is great. He went to the Cardinals.
Well, let me give you his stat line.
Okay. Okay, great.
So his stat line in the 2016 game was 2 completions on 10 attempts, 17 yards, a pick. Okay. Let's see what else. His long was 9.
Okay. So far, that adds
up. It was not good.
You know what? So Billy's gone to a handful of Packer games. He was, I don't know if he was at Jordan Love's first game, but he went to one game where it was Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers didn't start, but he went to that Ravens Packer game, I believe, with Brett Hundley starting. So he's been cursed at a couple. I wish I remembered the other bad games that he's been to.
Was it Tennessee that was against?
Well, I know the Ravens was one. We had a terrible one against the Titans with Rodgers, where our buddies Zim and those guys went to the game, like they went to Nashville, and then they got absolute shit on at Nissan Stadium. This game, I don't know. We should win. If we lose this game, then the season's really like over. Because like right now,
I mean, not actually though.
But right, but like I have a decent amount of hope right now. Because again, we were better than the Bears. It was just a terrible collapse. If we lose to the Ravens, we're still going to make the playoffs. We'll beat the Vikings the next week. But if it takes beating the lowly Vikings with the fucking Gophers quarterback starting for them probably, and then you go to the playoffs, like that is such a low level to be coming in at. So
yeah.
we have to win this game. If we win this game and look really good and we beat the Vikings and we look really good, I think we make it to the playoffs healthy, hopefully. And then I'm feeling like NFC Championship game. Like we should be able to, because it's like I feel like we're gonna have to beat one of the tough teams, but we're probably gonna have to go through an easy one with our first matchup. Yep. And if we can do that, then again, I think it's like a coin flip if we make it to the NFC Championship game.
I mean, it looks like we're playing the Bears in the wild card, right?
More than
I
likely.
Mean, like all signs point to that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It does depend on like how we look, right? Like even if we win the game but we look like shit, I'm like, meh. Like I am already kind of just like, what is this team? Like what's our identity? Like what are we gonna do well that's gonna get us deep into the playoffs? And I just like don't, I couldn't answer it for you. Like I really don't know what it is right now. I think next year we have an idea. It's a physical team that can run the ball but
we're
also takes big shots.
We're still physical. Come on. We saw Nate Hobbs. Think of Nate Hobbs.
I just really think we've lost too many guys. Like, it's just, like, the X factors are gone.
Yeah.
That's what is, like, that's just, like, the bummer. It's, like, it just doesn't feel like it. And it's not just people can step up. So it could happen. You just need somebody to fill those voids, and we just haven't seen it yet. I haven't.
The best, this is a weird thing for me to navigate. It feels like how going into the playoffs would be with, like, late 2010s Aaron Rodgers without Aaron Rodgers, you know, where you're like, it's a good team. Rodgers can get hot. Like, that's how it kind of feels like. Because I'm like, we're a good team. Something needs to happen, you know, and we haven't seen what that something would be. Obviously, you would think Jordan Love, but it's like we don't have that. But we have Aaron Rodgers, you know.
Right. Could you equate it to, in hindsight, like looking back at the 2010 team that wins the Super Bowl, of like all of a sudden the defense just flips a switch in the playoffs. Like that's like what we need, is we need like the offense to flip a switch and start dominating games. Like that's essentially what it would take.
Yeah.
In my opinion, like the defense to keep doing what it's been doing. Cause the defense hasn't, even when it's bad, it's seemingly bad. You look at the game as a whole and you're like, the defense wasn't bad. You know, they have moments where they fall apart, but like the offense really, like what it would take to go on a run is Jordan Love playing like, was it 2023 Jordan Love down the stretch? Like that's what it takes.
Yeah. And it's just, again, because JerMichael Finley was hurt, but it was the five wides. We had a good offensive line. We had Aaron Rodgers.
Well, we didn't have a good defense at all during that season.
This,
they took the ball away on and off, but they really took the ball away in the playoffs, and they played much better in the red zone.
We were still a pretty good defense. We had our bad moments. Like, we shut out the Jets that year. You know, I know what you're saying, because the low was bad. That was like Detroit concussion. Patriots offensive lineman returning a kick. There was a couple other bad ones. It was like the middle where we fell out a bit, but towards the end, it's like we were rolling. And that's
which is where we're at right now with the offense, like middle to end. We're like December. It's like, it's not really the middle. It's the end of the season, but like we've looked good. And then it's like, like Vegas isn't hot on us anymore. Yeah. It's like the momentum has kind of waned. And it's like, if we could get hot again, which we could, then you feel completely different. So the going back to the original point is like, if we win the game, but we look like we just squeak one out against a mediocre team, I'm not going to be excited.
Right.
Like,
I guess we'll see.
If we
blow out, you know, these last two games, we win a playoff game, we're going to feel much different than we feel right now. We're coming off of two losses. We need to hit, like,
foot on the gas and just, like, give them everything we got. Otherwise, it's going to be, it's feeling like a first-round exit.
What is your score prediction for this game?
Can I give you Billy's first?
Fine.
Billy has 21-16 Green Bay.
Okay. What is yours?
I feel okay, but I'm pushing for, in my head, same thing. Like, we have to be aggressive. We have to, like, just the optimist in me is, like, we're going to put up some points. Which just doesn't maybe sound that super optimist, but lately it would be. 27-22 Packers.
Okay. I like that. Score. I have 27-17. Got to stick with 27. We need to just fucking win this game. The Ravens aren't good. I feel like they're a team that's going to crumble once they start losing to, like, they know they don't have much to play for. They're going to fucking Green Bay. Their season's over. The second to last game. Lamar is losing motivation. The team doesn't have a leader anymore. I don't know. One of the last games I went to, I was at that Thursday night Titans game with Derrick Henry. That sucked watching him run all over the defense. But I think our run D is pretty decent now. And it's not, I think a guy like him who's, I mean, obviously he's got the wheels too, but more of a bulldozer. I feel like we have a better shot against that than maybe a faster guy. I don't know.
He's like not a bulldozer though. He's like, same thing as like, if you get him to the second level, he's going to stiff arm the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
But he wants to run away from everybody. Like that's his MO. Get to the edge and run away.
What is your bold prediction for this game?
You know me, my boy, Colin Oliver, baby Micah. Colin Oliver, 2 sacks.
You want to do 1 sack?
2.
I would be surprised if he suits up.
2 sacks, right. Colin Oliver.
2 sacks.
Bold.
Mini.
Bold. They're not lukewarm predictions. They're bold
Extremely.
Predictions.
Extremely. Okay. And let's let Billy cool it down.
All right. Billy has... where is it? Bold prediction is Carrington Valentine finally catches a football and gets his first pick of the season.
Okay. Sure.
He literally can't catch. Yeah. So that's pretty bold.
He can't catch it. My bold prediction, someone who should have done this last week. He only has half of one so far in his rookie season. I have Warren Brinson getting his first career sack in this game. He's played sneaky okay this year. He's been better than I thought he would be after it seemed like he wasn't going to make the initial roster.
And he's what, a fifth or a sixth round pick?
Six, seven. I think he was.
Again,
I think he was a
Goody finds these guys that are like a sixth feels right. But like Warren is a dude that's like. He's the dude from Texas, right?
No, he's from Georgia.
Barron's from Texas.
Correct.
Yeah. Barron's from Texas. He's the kid from Georgia. But it's like, he finds these guys that are just like more than serviceable. Like seemingly both Barron and Warren will be like guys that are like good. Like the production that we've seen from them, right? It's like, oh, these guys could be like legitimately good. Not great, probably, but like good.
Yep.
Props to Goot for that.
Still a pretty solid draft overall, I think this year. And who knows what Marcus Robinson's going to be for the Titans, the corner that got poached off the practice squad because we couldn't cut Lucas Haversick. So we lost Ben Sims and Marcus Robinson. So there you go.
Oh, okay.
Ben Sims was the emergency quarterback before getting cut, by the way.
He was?
I believe so. I think that's what it was. Unless it was the emergency long snapper, but I don't know why that would have came up.
Yeah, weird.
That's it. That's the podcast. If you want, leave a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple. You can comment on Spotify. If you do, we'll read it on the podcast. We have 2 Comments this week. Todd, are you ready?
I was born ready.
RJ says, fishing update. Younger brother and I were catching so many fish that we forgot to leave drunk comments. That was before the last game, I believe. I guess, well...
It's brutal. I hate catching so many fish that I forget to get drunk.
I haven't gone ice fishing in a while. Ice fishing is the best fishing.
Let's do it.
I would. I guess maybe right. Like February or something. Deal. I would love to go ice fishing.
Let's do January.
Late January.
I'm chomping at the bit.
Yeah, I guess. Well, maybe. I've been working weekends, you know, working Ooh. Late because I'm a singer.
Oh, that's for the weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, ice fishing's the best because you're not stuck in a boat. And like I think I've said before, like one of my favorite memories being like 15 years old was going out ice fishing and bringing skates, and it was glare ice. It hadn't snowed yet.
Oh.
And like getting a puck in the stick and slapping it and the puck disappearing on the horizon because it just kept sliding because the ice was so slick.
That's interesting. I've never been like, it's better because you're not on a boat, because I like being on a boat. But I guess if you're skating, that's fun.
Yeah, well, then you bring like a football, and I haven't gone ice fishing since I was like 20, I guess. But like you bring a football or you do full contact tip-ups. You know, you got to race for them when they tip up.
Yep.
I wonder if anyone knows or how many people know how ice fishing works, what a tip-up.
People know what a tip-up is. I think when people think of ice fishing, they think of tip-ups,
but
right?
Like people listen to like California and stuff. So it's like you drill a hole in the ice,
fair.
And then you put a wooden okay. thing
and
with string attached to it.
If you're in Tasmania, they don't have
right.
ice, right?
No, not even in their drinks. But then there's a little flag on the thing too, so when the string gets pulled, the flag goes up and you say tip-up, and then you run and you pull the northern in.
You have to say tip up? I've never heard someone say tip up.
With my dad. Oh, yeah. We've always yelled tip up. And then we run to the fish.
Oh,
and he's
okay.
like, hold on.
I thought you just yell.
Let him,
I thought
let
you
him
just fish and you point and run.
Let him run. Let him run here. Let him bite on a little bit more. And then
yep.
okay,
let
right,
him
hold
take
it. All right.
Let
you feel
take
a tug.
It.
Oh, there we go. Oh, there it is. I love
it. You guys set the hook. You
know, I love ice fishing. I like tip ups more than jigging, but I think jigging is what people mostly do.
I have more jigging stuff. I think I have one tip up.
Okay,
so.
They're cheap, but I don't even know. God, I'll have to talk to my dad and be like, "Hey, I don't want ice fish." So yeah, RJ, thanks for that comment, Logan. That was quite. I forgot what we were doing, Logan. Where do I begin? Oh God, now I need to remember the Bears game again. When the game ended, the first thing I said was, God, I'm ready, please take me tonight. Sadly, he didn't, but but seriously, my biggest question is, why would we use Wilson, who's averaging 7 yards a run at one point, and switch to Jacobs in the red zone and stall out? Also, Rich has got to go. Romeo looked like he never played football on that onside. Why not use Golden Reed on
yeah.
that? They have better hands than Romeo. Congrats. Reed, I'd be fine with. Golden has already gotten banged up a couple times this year, and he has good hands, but he's a smaller guy. I wouldn't want to risk him. Like, I still think Romeo, like, I don't think anyone really had an issue with Romeo being the hands guy before this week. And then Wilson, like...
I mean, I think it's fine, but it also, I mean, I don't know. What do you do?
Yeah, and then
he should have caught it.
The Wilson thing, too. I think Josh Jacobs has just been so good in the red zone, where I was fine taking him out for that. Obviously, the results weren't good, but it's like he's been so good for us in the red zone this year, where we haven't had to throw it as much, where you would have thought he was going to score, but obviously.
I'm almost like of the belief of like if it helps to just sit him for a week and we can get him back in for the long haul, let's just sit him for a week.
Yeah.
Instead of like you put him in and you limit his snaps, and it's like it seems like that's kind of the issue, is like then the swelling in his knee and then this whole thing. So it's like, just sit him.
Yeah. We'll see. Oh, and then he finishes. Congrats to the Bears on their Super Bowl. So, yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
I really hope if we can play them and beat them again, then it's like, okay, the year was fine, I guess. What sucked is during this Bears game, I was like, you know what? This has been a really fun year watching the Packers because, you know, we've lost some games, but we've thought pretty highly of the team. Like last year, we won a lot of games, but we never felt good. Like the back half of the year, we didn't feel great about the team. And then this year, it's like it's been fun comebacks. We haven't been blown out. Every game's been like a one score game for us, you know. And then we fucking shit the bed at the end, and I'm like, God, now what am I doing with my life?
Something else too to factor in, even when we talk about Pro Bowl talk, this is the youngest team in the league.
Yeah.
One, talking about Pro Bowl, like Pro Bowl is all about name recognition. If you're young and you're not a first-round draft pick, you don't have name recognition. Like, it takes years to build it up. Two, like, this team, like, to find our identity and get to a spot where we feel really good about, like, okay, this is, like, what we're going to do. This is what we are. It takes a little bit of time. And when you have the youngest team in the league, that's tough. So
maybe they'll find themselves this week.
It could happen anytime.
There you go.
We don't know. I mean, we could have, if Jordan Love comes out slinging and we're clicking, we're having a completely different conversation next week.
Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. With that, Todd.
Maybe Colin Oliver, 3 sacks.
Who's to say? Maybe Warren Brinson, 2 picks.
Ooh, that's something we haven't had in a while. And that is the catalyst to go to the Super Bowl. You know, we're using 2010 as an example. We need a D lineman pick.
Yeah. A little early for it, but I guess I'll take it. With that, Todd, do you have anything else?
Nazir Stackhouse pick? Would that be like the equivalent?
Nazir Stackhouse suiting up would be a surprise this week.
I'm just thinking of who's the biggest boy. Who's the biggest boy like BJ Raji that could catch one? It'd be like Nazir.
I think the new guy might be. What's his name?
Is he big? Riley?
Yeah, Riley might be the one. Yeah, because the other guys are pretty slender. Yeah, because it would have been Devonta Wyatt, but his ankle exploded.
I do have something else.
Oh, good. Okay.
Lambeau Leaps?
Yeah.
We're done?
Yeah, I mean, this might be your best chance. Well, the last time we played at Lambeau, Christian Watson did a Lambeau leap, so.
Oh, so it's not zero in the season.
Yeah, no, we've probably had like 3, I would guess.
Okay.
So.
Well, we have the statue out front. I think they have to keep doing them.
When you say the statue out front, I'm like, Curly, Lambo, Lombardi. No, it's a stupid,
the dumb tourist trap.
What's the pit in Star Wars? Fuck, not the Lazarus. Fuck, what is it called?
I know
Boba
what you're talking
Fett
about.
Or Jango Fett falls into. And fuck,
he brings him out to the sand, and then the sand.
It's Laxar Pit or something. Idea. God damn it, Todd. Do you have anything else? Fuck, it's gonna bother me.
No, that's it.
Sarlacc pit. There we go. That's what it is.
Sarlacc pit. All right. Yeah, Snorlax pit.
All right, AJ Dillon, take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch.
Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money.
Low-key, take Monday off. Nobody is out and about doing anything on Monday.
People be sleeping on Mondays.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Got a case of the Mondays.
but not when you're off.
Leonardo DiCaprio meme.
Hell, God, fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah, dude.
Dude, why do the Packers suck? Why?
They don't suck. They
don't suck. And actually, you know what?
Shame on
the Bears for being excited about beating this team.
Honestly, that's kind of the worst part.
the
look on the NFL.
Is in shambles.
Wait, what? What team?
The Packers.
They're in shambles?
Love goes down. They squeak out a win. We have to piss it down our legs for them to get the win.
I know.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.